Well, there is a Christian joke that you shouldn't pray for patience because God will teach you the hard way. Well, this morning on the way to work, I was praying about being less selfish. And what I found out is he would provide me many opportunities to do so, including filming this video that I didn't know that I'd be doing. Now, it could be an answer to prayer, supernaturally, but I think when we start to become more conscious of something to apply in our lives, for example, selflessness, then we also become more conscious of the opportunities to practice that. The truth is you have these opportunities all the time, every day. Every encounter you have is another opportunity to put someone above yourself. One of my favorite verses from the Bible is Philippians chapter 2, which says, "Have the mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather, he took on the nature of a servant, the likeness of a man, and he humbled himself, even to death on a cross, and after having done so, he was exalted, so that his name would be above every name, and at his name, every knee would bow." Jesus is so worthy of worship because of who he is. And because of who he is, he also chose to be the lowest. And we have the opportunity to do that, to live like Jesus by putting others first.
Foremost, you probably already know part of what I'm going to tell you. CCW is a very, very special place. And it's primarily a very special place because you are very special people. Nancy and I have been a part of this congregation in October, 35 years. So that's not the best part of it. We missed the first 15 because next month in September, CCW will be celebrating its 50th anniversary of being here in this community, serving God and ministering the Word and worshiping together and loving on one another and loving on other people, because that's what we do. It's just been it's an awesome place. We're family here, and that's a wonderful place to know that you've got family, you got brothers and sisters to serve and to be served. And we work together on every bit of that. But especially during the last few months, it's been kind of a weird place we've been in. Not here, but here in the world. Strange place here in 2020. We've seen how special this family is also in the last month through the COVID shutdown and through the process that we're going through right now in reopening, the online services that we have. And by the way, everybody that's out there, awesome. I wish I could see you, but that's okay. Sometimes I will. So we do some pretty cool stuff around here, and it's partly because we got some pretty cool people that make some of this kind of stuff happen. It's been amazing to see some of the gifting that God has provided to our brothers and sisters coming out that wouldn't necessarily, we wouldn't necessarily be aware of some of it if it hadn't been for these emergencies. But, just look around you, the praise band, Jesse and the guys and the ladies that serve in leading us in worship. The audiovisual team, cafe workers and cookie bakers and bulletin stuffers and speakers and parking lot attendants, service teams and ushers and counters and cleanup teams and lockup teams and small group leaders and on and on and on. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for serving God here in our community. Here in the church, here in this community, and in the larger community outside, where we reach out to other people with the love of God, with the Word of God, with the truth of God, and serve one another, but also reach out to people who don't necessarily know Jesus as Lord and Savior, It's pretty awesome if you look at some people have got caught doing good stuff, you know, around here. And we celebrate all of you, and it's just amazing that one of the things that's really cool, although we haven't all been together all the time and that kind of stuff, one of the things that's really, really been amazing is the way the giving has held up here. In the congregation, we've been able to, in fact, continue giving and even giving extra to our missionaries around the world. And I don't know if you'd heard, I hadn't until here this morning, actually, the baby bottle thing that we had going on here. I don't know if you'd heard, but over $5,000 or around $5,000 came in to encourage and support the ministry to people who are in crisis in that way. This is a family. We are a family here. And each one of you here this morning have come together to worship actually as ministers. You care for each other. You listen to each other. You pray for each other. You offer to help one another even during the craziest, heart-wrenching year most of us can remember. God is leading us, and people are important to God. So you love God and you love people, and you serve God and you serve people. And that's awesome. And I want to just say thank you. Thank you for showing the love of God in sacrificing your time and your money and your talents and your abilities to worship God in real practical and awesome ways, and serving Him and serving the people who are around who need to know about Him. Thank you. This is valuable to you, and it shows, and it matters. Thank you for getting it. Thank you for doing it. Again, I've been reminded in this craziness more than ever, while knowing and loving and serving the living God is the most valuable thing that we can ever do in this life. What we value has helped us become this kind of a church family, the kind of church family that we are. Nancy and I have been around here to watch an awful lot of it change and grow and come about. It's been exciting. It continues to be exciting, and it's going to continue to be exciting. And because God's first, and we love Him, and we love Christ, and we love one another. So it's just an awesome thing. The last few weeks, we've been celebrating and reminding and being reminded of our values here at CCW. We have five primary core values. They come from the habits and that we see in the life of Jesus, God's Son, who came from heaven to this earth, lived a perfect life, died for our sins as the perfect sacrifice, rose from the grave, proving that He was God, and giving life to all who will follow Him as Lord and Savior. Since Jesus is God, we value what He valued because we are His followers. We are His disciples. It's our desire to be like Him more and more. And we are never more like Him than when we love each other, when we love Him, when we reach out to other people with the love of God through our service and through the gifting and the ministries that He has given us. Our core values are biblical truth, inspired worship, real relationships. Last week, Chris reminded us and challenged us with a message about Spirit-led living. And today, we're going to be talking about selfless service. At CCW, the value of selfless service means to sacrifice and serve others like Jesus did. Jesus exemplified humility and put our ultimate need, which is a right relationship with God, ahead of His own life. In order for us to have a relationship with God, because we are all sinners, something had to be done about the sin problem. Our sins had to be taken out of the way. And there was nothing, there is nothing that any of us can do about that. It doesn't matter how much you serve or what you do for others, or even if you laid down your life, that would be exactly what you owed because of your sins, and it would gain you nothing. But Jesus did that for us. He did what we could not do for ourselves. He came and put us first. He came and served. He came and sacrificed. And in fact, He came and made a way for us to come back to Jesus Christ, I mean, to God through what He did for us. As a kingdom community, this means recognizing that what our world needs and finding ways to meet those needs through Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that every Christian is called to full-time Christian service, regardless of your vocation. I'm retired, but I'm not retired from my primary job. My primary job is a minister of Jesus Christ, not here, out there. And that's your job also, regardless of whatever you may have done or what you're doing now as a vocation, regardless of your age, regardless of your background, regardless of your education, regardless of your family, regardless of what you've been through, you are now in Christ Jesus, a member and a child in the family of God. And as such, you're a minister of Christ. We practice that truth that every believer is a minister by encouraging every member to find their place of service. This happens through on-campus ministry teams. It happens through local outreach to our community, and it happens around the world in world missions. To illustrate this core value, to illustrate all of our core values during this series, we've been looking at the life of David. We have a companion for this series, one who has helped us to see in another person's life these core values lived out. David is one of the most famous people in all the Bible. We find him in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, and we find mentions of him all through. I would encourage that you spend some time reading about the life of David. It'll encourage you. It'll challenge you that you spend some time in those books looking at David's story. It's special because we see in David one whom the Lord has sought out, a man, God said, after His own heart, and God appointed him ruler of His people. We find that 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. 1 Kings 15, 5 says, David was a man who loved God and did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But David wasn't perfect. He lived in the tension of his own selfishness. He lived with his own temptations, lying and adultery and murder, a dysfunctional family, sometimes losing sight even of his first love, the love that he had for God. But that's encouraging, because through his ups and downs, God would ultimately call David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, for he will do everything I want him to do, Acts 13, verse 22. Looking back on his life and living the values of Jesus is what made him that man after God's own heart. And he's a great example for us at Christian Church in the Wildwood, because here we seek to be a church that's known to be a church after God's own heart. I've often said at any given time, any of us might have our head screwed on backwards, but our desire is to have our hearts bent for God, and we pursue being a people of God and pleasing Him. King David valued selfless service. His heart of serving God and of serving others set a foundation for his future as we know it. When we go back in the scriptures to where we first meet David and look at another story from his highlight reel to see how he lived out this core value of selfless service, we look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. When we first meet David, it's during a visit from perhaps the greatest judge of all time, the prophet and priest Samuel. The book that we're reading from is named after him. Samuel is sent by God to visit a man named Jesse in a little town called Bethlehem. There, Samuel was sent to anoint one of Jesse's sons to one day become the future and the greatest king of Israel. So Samuel first meets the oldest son, Eliab, who seemed like a shoe-in because of his stature. Kind of like a fantasy draft pick number one, you know. He would be the guy that you would point and say, okay, that's the guy right there. That's who we're looking for. But he wasn't getting picked. In fact, listen to this. In verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Don't forget that. The Lord looks at the heart, not at the outward appearance. It's not about talent. It's not about looks. It's not about position. It's not like the things that impress maybe us or certainly impress the world. Service is the heart of the thing for God. God desires a heart that's bent for him, a heart that's committed to serving him. So after meeting all the sons of Jesse that Jesse brought, none were acceptable. And so Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" And it's like Jesse forgot his youngest. You know, he said, "No, I got another one." "Yeah, that's right. I got another one. He's out in the field taking care of the sheep." And it's interesting, the term that he used, he's the youngest, is the word in the Hebrew, hakatan, which means small, young, unimportant. One son was overlooked even by his own dad. He's tending the sheep. He was a shepherd. He was a servant. God uses, what struck me about that is it seemed like to me David was the only one doing his job. You know? You're the rest of them, you know, they're down here meeting the prophet. And David's out taking care of what he's supposed to be taking care of. I don't know what the jobs of the other guys were. They weren't doing it. Maybe that's why God chose him. God uses anyone, even those whom the world overlooks or considers unimportant. Anyone can serve the Lord. All ages, all backgrounds, all shapes, all sizes. And that's encouraging. I've often told people like me who are getting a little bit older and think maybe it's time to retire. When it's time to retire, you won't wake up here. If you wake up here, God's got something for you to do. So when that's the key right there. If you wake up here, okay, what am I supposed to be doing today, Lord? That's the question to ask, because if he doesn't have something for you to do here, you won't wake up here. So you're not too young, you're not too old, you're not too poor. Whatever it is, stop comparing yourself to others and listen for God as he calls your name. He sees you. He knows you. And he will use you for his glory. Many of you already know this truth. Some are living proof of that. God chose David, the shepherd. It seems like there's something special to God about being a shepherd. David is serving in his dad's business, the lowest family job of caring for the sheep. But it's interesting, as a shepherd, we see David as a poet, as a guardian, as a musician, as a caregiver, as a lion and a bear killer, all just doing his job, being a shepherd. So it's amazing sometimes when you just do what God calls you to do, what you'll end up getting to do when you do your job and when you're about the business that God has gifted and called you to do. Samuel said, "Send for him. No one is sitting down until he arrives." So Jesse sent for David, this is verse 12, and had him brought in. It says he was glowing with health, had a fine appearance and handsome features. Funny, I didn't think God looked at the outward. But then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He's the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David. And Samuel went on his way to Ramah. Finally, he's picked to be king. The Spirit of the Lord is on him. He's given power. So what does David do next? Does he take his power over the land? Nope. Does he stick it to his brothers? No. Does he point out that his dad really missed it when he... when he didn't see all that was all wrapped up in him? What was he looking at? No. How does David react? David serves humbly. In 1 Samuel 16, 14 through 23, we have where we go back to be reintroduced to King Saul. King Saul was pretty impressive. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. He looked good. Looked good. Didn't do good. He didn't do good. And so God's Spirit leaves King Saul and is replaced by a spirit of distress from God. He's a mess. His attendants suggest music therapy, someone to play the harp for when the evil spirit comes so he'll feel better. Music's good for that, isn't it? And in a world of distress, in a time of COVID, I don't know how many times I haven't felt it and heard from you all the comfort that comes from listening to some praise music, to listen to some of the old hymns, the soothing music calms us and recenters us and refocuses us on who is really our strength. Some of you may know Jesse Diaz works with our veterans, and he can tell you the value of music therapy. Jesse has developed some plans and some programs to help some of us veterans who came back a little warped and twisted, and in a lot of ways. Jesse ministers, and one of those is through music to help calm and get people reoriented and straightened out. Saul agrees that this music thing might be a good thing. So he says, "Go find someone who plays well and bring them to me." It's like David's lyre playing. Maybe the YouTube video blew up on whatever they were watching back then. But lyre players seem to be at a premium, or God just set this whole thing up. One of the servants answered and said, "Hey, I've seen this guy. He's the son of Jesse down in Bethlehem. He knows how to play the lyre. He's not just that. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well, and he's a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him." It's been obvious since David was anointed, God is with David. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." That's something. Having been anointed, he didn't get the big head. He's still out there taking care of the sheep. With all of his talent, his reputation, and his potential, Dave is still humbly serving, tending the sheep. So Jesse gets David, loads him up, and sends him to King Saul. David came to Saul, verse 21, and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I'm pleased with him." Some of you know how this works. in life. When we're humble and serve, when we really apply ourselves, when we do the things we're supposed to do with a good heart and a good spirit and a desire to be everything that God has gifted us to be, at home, at work, good service will get you promoted. Whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up the lyre and play, and relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. It's hard to miss. Selfless service is humble service. David shows us that selfless service always takes a bit of humility. David's heart could have been selfish. Samuel had anointed him king. David could have resented Saul, but instead, he just does his job, humbly waiting his turn, serving the Lord as he served others. This is what service looks like in the Bible, not just by David, but even by Jesus and by his disciples in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 14, verse 7, Jesus tells a parable about people invited to a wedding feast. And he teaches that one should probably not come in and sit down in the place of honor, but rather we should take the lower seat so that we can be called up. At the end of that parable, Jesus says, anyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. It's a whole lot better to be called to the head of the table than be asked to get up and go to the foot of the table, isn't it? I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we had Sunday dinners when we'd invite people home from church, or we'd have Thanksgiving dinners where the family would all get together, and wouldn't you know it, the adults got the good table. There was this little kids' table over here that, you know, everybody wanted to be at the adult table, but you had to take your turn, sit down at the kids' table until you got invited to come up to sit with the adults. You know, sometimes we see the same kind of thing happen here around church. People come in waving their credentials, wanting to lead, wanting to head up a ministry, wanting to get attention, have a position, have a title. It tends to wave red flags when that happens around here. And we usually say, slow down a little bit. Be humble. Sit down and serve for a while. Selfless service always takes humility. James and Peter might give us examples of that in this passage. Both of them wanted to have the seat of honor, the left and the right in the kingdom. And both might teach us to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord so that he can lift us up. Ephesians 6:7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. It's interesting, we're told even in our vocations, even in our work, that we should do our work out in the world, not like we were working for men, but like we were working for the Lord. David would not become king for another 25 years. But here he is in the palace. His first role as future king was serving the present king. And Saul wasn't even a good king. His job was to comfort the king, to play him music, to bring order to his chaos. It didn't seem that David was trying to climb the corporate ladder. He wasn't looking for the next promotion or seeking to rule over anything. He was just serving humbly. Selfless service is also faithful service. David served faithfully. In the next chapter, 1 Samuel 17, that is where David fights Goliath. But there's some stuff that happens before that. We find that David is apparently too young to serve in the army. You have to be 20 to do that. So all of this has happened before David is 20. He's got three brothers that are serving in the army down with Saul, down in the Valley of Elah, where they are confronting the evil Philistines again. They've been tormenting the nation of Israel, attempting to destroy them. They meet up in battle, and they have a champion. His name is Goliath. He's a giant. My understanding is about 9 feet 2 inches tall. And he's calling out for a champion to come out from Israel. It seems like the line is pretty short of those who are wanting to go out and do that. Even the tall guy in Israel, his name is Saul, he didn't seem to be getting in line himself. Nobody seemed to want to go out and face Goliath. No one in Israel wants to fight this guy. During this time, in verse 15, David has been going back and forth between Saul playing the harp and his father taking care of the sheep. And whoever called him, David got up and went. So at this time, we don't know if David is holding down two jobs or it's a seasonal thing. We really don't know, but here he is again. He's faithfully serving his dad at home while serving Saul at the palace. So Jesse gives David another job to do. He loads him up with food to bring to his brothers and their commanding officer who were in Saul's army on the battlefield. His dad asked David to check and see how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of an under-shepherd. He loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. So David is given a job to do, and he faithfully goes, a future king of Israel doing DoorDash, serving his dad and his brothers. And before he goes, he's still being faithful to the sheep. He makes sure that they're taken care of. Still a shepherd and an errand boy. You have to wonder when David's going to get called up to the adult table. So you can read the rest of the story and find out. As David faithfully serves his brothers and King Saul near the battle, he is still overlooked and underrated by everybody. Throughout the story, David refers to himself in one way. Your servant is what he says. For years, David continues to faithfully serve God while waiting to become king. It would cost him nearly everything in life. But David loved the Lord, fought for him, gave him all the glory as a shepherd, as a son, as a brother, as a musician, as a comforter, as a warrior, as a king, but always as a servant. In Psalm 101, Jesus quotes David as calling him the Messiah, his Lord. From his messianic psalms to his bloodline, to his hometown and his heritage, and with his life, David teaches us and leads us to Jesus, who was the God-man who came to earth, who also was all about selfless service. Matthew 20, verse 27 and 28, Jesus said he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He proved this by serving the masses, by healing, by feeding, by teaching. He proved it by washing his disciples' feet in John chapter 13. And ultimately, he proved it by giving his life, dying in our place for our sins on the cross in an ultimate act of love and sacrifice. In Philippians chapter 2, God reminds us of the attitude that Jesus had in him. Humble, faithful, selfless servant king who God has now exalted to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus proves God's love for us. We love and serve God because He first loved us. Jesus lived and died for each one of us. It's only appropriate that we live and serve and, if necessary, die for Him. But mainly He wants us to live for Him and serve like Him. Like David, Jesus was the man after God's own heart. And you and I at CCW will serve Him as people after God's own heart. Selfless, humble, faithful, pointing the world to Jesus. So I praise God for all of you here who serve God. On campus and in the community or around the world, thank you. But we're just beginning to see what God can do with a church that's completely committed to serving Him selflessly. We'd love to see everyone join us in that. If for some reason you're not serving, you want to. You don't want to miss out. I had a good preacher up in Virginia, and he used to say, when you're down, like some of us have tended to get during COVID, when you're depressed, when you're frustrated, when you don't know exactly what to do, go find someone to help. He used to call it the ministry of lifting. He said, it's really impossible for you to go and pick somebody else up that you don't get lifted up yourself. And so if you're not involved in ministry, we want to help you to find your place of service. When you became a Christian, when you gave your life to the Lord, when you were baptized into Christ and your sins were taken away, and you were given the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit gave you a gift for service, a gift for ministry. Each one of us has a special gift, at least one, that He has gifted us to serve one another, to build one another up. If you don't know where your sweet spot is, we want to help you. So if you're not here, if you're out there on the web, you know, go to the website, ccw.church, or when you get home later, hit the Next Steps tag. Discover your shape and the ministry opportunities that are available for you here. If you're here today, there's a Next Step station right outside that door. If you're online, hit the link. Linktree is what that is on Facebook. And it'll take you to where you need to get started on this process. If you haven't found your gifting, go looking for it. Find it. Find your ministry. Find your sweet spot of service. A matter of fact, in your bulletin, if you got your bulletin, there's a couple of places to look. There's an insert in here, and in bold letters it says, Selfless Service Ideas. So if you want some hints, take that out, check it out, see if maybe there's something on there that God will say, hey, you need to check that out. And I saw over in your bulletin on the, not the back page, but this page, there's even a title, Selfless Service. So all around us here this morning, there are plenty of opportunities for service. And each and every one of us has been gifted for ministry. Last week, Chris pointed out that that God has the fruit of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is desiring to produce in every one of us. When you were baptized into Christ, you got all of the Holy Spirit. He came to live right in here. You got all of Him. But you might not know it because you might be getting in His way. You know? Chris said last week, you might not be experiencing all the fruit of the Spirit because maybe you got some place that you just haven't surrendered to Him yet. I would challenge you, the same could be true about your gifting. You've been gifted. And the challenge for us here this morning, before we leave, is to grab a core values challenge card that's available at the tables at most of the entrances, and it's online as well. It's been said that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God called David, and he qualified him for every service that he wanted him to do. And David was pretty responsive to that. He went where he was called. He went and served his dad. He went and served his brothers. He went and served his nation. He went and served for a short time, I guess, in the army. I know he knocked over a big guy that nobody else wanted to face. He served as king and set a pretty good example for us. But if you didn't get that one, Jesus is really our example. Just like he came to serve, he now has called and he sends us to serve. We've all been commissioned. King David's life shows us that it's true. By God's power, we can do whatever he wants us to do. So today, look beyond yourself to the God who made you. He loves you. He gave your life. Give your life to him. That's what I mean to say. Give your life to him. All of it. Don't hold anything back. If you will let him, he will take you and he will use you for his glory and for the good of the world through selfless service. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. If you need to talk, if you need to give your life to Jesus, or if you need to find a place to serve, take the next step today here at CCW. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the awesome privilege of being your children, of being servants and ministers in your kingdom here in your church, even here at CCW. Father, I pray that by your Spirit you would prompt any who are here who do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord, that they would step forward and take the next step to learn about him and to find out what it is that they must do in order to be saved. But for all the rest of us, Father, I pray that by your Spirit you'd put your finger on the very place that needs to change in each one of us. Put your finger on the place of service that you want us to go to and challenge and convict us. In Jesus' name, amen.